My name is Claire Kelly, and I'm a local Edmonton poet. I work at New West Press. Welcome to the official podcast of the Edmonton Poetry Festival. This year's festival runs from April 22nd to 29th, and our theme this year is Your Voice Here. To follow with that theme, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be putting the voice of some of our local featured poets into your ears. Cher McCartney is the author of 6 poetry books. Her latest is titled Metanoia. Am I saying that right?
You are.
Awesome. And that's with Biblioasis, and that came out in 2016. I wanted to say last year, but that's not last year anymore. And in 2008, she received the Acorn Plantos People's Prize for Poetry. There's a lot of P's in that.
Yep, there are.
So I have some questions, and you told me to surprise you with questions.
You go right to it.
Anything was on the table.
You bet.
So one thing I kind of want to talk about is how personal your poetry is, but also how personally you engage with other pieces of literature. So like in between like Anna Karenina, Jane Austen, Little House on the Prairie, especially.
Yeah. In a way, that's a way to get away from being personal. I mean, I've written a lot of very autobiographical poetry, and that's just material. I mean, what material do we have other than, you know, the daily challenges that we face? But then engaging with other works of literature, like the Little House books, allowed me to be somebody else. And what I say about those poems is that they're still all me, you know, like anybody who writes a dramatic monologue is still, you know, there's the fiction of the other voice, but it's still you're saying what you want to say. But it was just so much fun. I never had so much fun writing a book as I had when I was working on Little House poems in the Love Song of Laura Ingalls Wilder. And it was just like every day I wrote most of that book at the Banff Center during the writing studio. And every day I'd go and I'd get breakfast and coffee. And then I'd go back to my little room and think, who am I going to be today? And I could write about everything that was going on in my life, but through the filter of another voice and another experience. And everything was relatable. Like everything, you know, I could think about, okay, there's Pa's rifle up on the wall over the fireplace. What's that like in my life? You know, that's, yeah, I know how that feels. You're up there, you're loaded, you know, you're ready, but, you know, you're just sitting there waiting to go off. So it was like that. So it's still all personal, even when you use, you know, someone else's voice.
And I noticed, like, you work just like that with objects really well. And thinking from objects' point of view, I was thinking of your poem, ATM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, the ATM is just there. Yeah. And we come and go. And you think, well, how does the ATM feel about that? You know, you people.
Coming and touching my button.
Yeah. And then you take off.
I just want to acknowledge that we do have another guest in the room.
Yeah.
So if you hear any noise, it's Jack the Jack Russell Terrier.
Little Jack. Old Jack.
One time spirit of Poetry Weekend.
He was the kindred spirit of Poetry Weekend one year. Yeah, I forget what year that was. Maybe 2010?
Let's not think about time.
Yeah, okay.
So how did you find poetry, or how did poetry find you?
It was always there. Grade school, you know. It was just always, it was something that I think, well, I always read, and books were really just a place to go to. I grew up with a sister who was very ill, and, you know, the household could be chaotic at times, and books were just like this, you know, books were what I lived for. That was where I lived. I read a great book, maybe 10 years ago by an author named Francis Spufford. And the book is called The Boy That Books Built, something like that. And he talks about growing up in a challenge, like every household is challenging, but, you know, like a household where the focus is on, you know, a particular thing that's going on and what books did for him. And I think that was it for me. And then if you read a lot, you know, writing just comes naturally. And it was just something, I guess, looking for connection, you know.
You know, it makes complete sense. Like, I don't remember not being able to read.
Yeah.
I don't remember anyone teaching me to read. I don't have that memory.
Reading, but it was such a source of just, you know, it's stereotypical. It's escape. But it's also connection with something beyond what you're experiencing at the moment. I can remember hiding behind the sofa and I'd say to myself, if I said it to myself 10 times, it would be true. And I would say, Daddy will let me stay up half an hour to read. You know, I'd say that 10 times. And then I'd go out and say, can I stay up a half an hour to read? And he'd say, yeah, okay.
Oh, I wonder if he heard you.
No, it was silent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not a very silent thinker. So I would have been saying it aloud. I've been like, how did you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking, when I was rereading your books recently, about writing about the personal is allowing yourself to keep a memory. Like, you're changing the memory by writing it, probably, but I've never been very comfortable writing about stuff in my personal life. Like, I write about the feelings and ideas, and I usually, like...
Yeah.
Find something else to hitch it on.
Yeah, there are two aspects of it. One that I'm not proud of is that sometimes it's a way of dealing with stuff, you know? And even, you know, saying things that, you know, you probably shouldn't say. And I feel like, and sometimes I've written stuff that I know has hurt people. And that's, I'm not proud of that. And actually, I'm hoping that I'm moving away from that. But then the other aspect of writing about personal stuff for me is not letting myself off the hook. You know, like I'll examine what I've done, and it's all personal interactions with other people. I mean, what else is there to write about? There is nature too, I guess. But a lot of people write about that. But for me, it's you know, the interaction with the other humans on the planet. And sometimes we're not very nice to other people. And that's something that I can address in poetry and try to, you know, figure that out. Like, why did I behave like that? Why did I do that? And not let yourself off the hook. You know, there's no excuses. Poetry is where it's you bring that out, but hopefully you bring that out with language and imagery that other people can connect with. I mean, that's the ideal. It could, because all of our experiences are basically the same, you know, the infinite variety of details, but the foundation is the same. And what matters to me is when I read is reading something that I recognize that in someone else. It's like, oh yeah, like Middlemarch, you know, the narrator of Middlemarch. I feel like I know that person, you know, like, you know, she's inside of me. And if you could do that for somebody else, that would be amazing.
And I was thinking how your poems at the end, a lot of personal poems I read that deal with people's lives try to soften at the end of the poem. Yeah. Like, they very often turn towards sentimentality, and I like that yours, because you're not letting yourself off the hook.
I hope not.
Not from what I've seen, anyways. But I imagine, like, I think a lot about what poems work for me to read in front of others and what poems don't.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times people pick ones that turn towards a softening to read in front of others. How do you go about picking what poems do you choose to read in front of an audience?
Mostly I would like to get a laugh. So I will, you know, there are some, I love getting a laugh, so I'll go for that. But actually that's interesting, because my last book, Metanoia, is basically one long poem. And there are parts in it that I don't like anymore. And I think, yeah, I shouldn't have written that. So when I read it, I just skip those parts. which is, you know,
I hope
you can do.
I hope you don't skip the part where you mention the TV show Friends, because I think we have talked about Friends every time we hung out.
Yeah. I just want to watch Friends. Yeah.
So I kind of have one more question.
Okay.
What are you working on right now?
I'm working on another long piece, and I got a grant to work on it, and which was really great. And I'm having trouble with it though, because it's just one long entire thing, and it's hard to place anywhere. I've tried pulling out bits and pieces, but that's, you know, it's hard. It's got a couple titles. It's kind of called Villa Negativa, which is a play on the Via Negativa, which is this Christian concept of the way you find God is by finding what God is not. Because we can never know God, we can only know what God is not. So the point of this manuscript is I can never know, how do you know who you are? We can never step outside of ourselves and say, oh yeah, there's, you know, there's Sharon, there's Claire, that's what I am. We can't get away from ourselves.
There's Jack.
So, yeah. Well, I'm sure he knows himself way better than any of us. So yeah, it's Via Negativa, and also this is who I am, or this is not who I am. I can't remember, but it's just one long thing, and I keep working away at it. I don't know if it will ever see the world, you know, but it gives me pleasure to work on it.
That's great. You are going to read us a poem.
I will read a poem. What do you think? When I...
Yeah, you can pick whatever you want. I'm not going to force it.
You mentioned one. Is it
in this
book?
Best in Show.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Just because Jack's in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is about the movie.
Yes, Best. I know. I love that movie.
It is a great movie. And it was another death knell in a relationship that I was in where I said, it was this guy, and I said, oh, it was not going well. And I said, let's watch Best in Show. It's such a great movie. You know, and he hated it. He didn't get the irony. And I just thought, oh, okay, like, what? Why am I here? Which, again, was not very nice. But, okay, Best in Show. He hates it. The characters, stomps off to rattle dishes in the sink, almost a sneer. You watch it. My pick, so I'm a little huffy. I try to explain how it laughs at exaggerated vanities and frailties, but he's not buying it. Now I feel stuck, 110 kilometers from home, a dark highway traversed by furtive, suicidal raccoons and moose. A little desperate, I drink as much of his homemade Cabernet as I can, thinking, what am I doing with a man who doesn't get irony? But he tidies up, takes my dog out for a pee, cranks the heat in the bathroom, indulges me in every respect, and I get drunk enough to sleep with him, but not so drunk that I don't remember his ardor, lips at my ear, how he buries his head in the dune of the quilt, brushes his hands over my bare thighs, and mutters, your beautiful body, unironically.
Well, I love that poem. I love
Thank
that
you.
Movie.
It's a great movie, and I have a friend who was in it. Background
oh.
friend. Yeah.
That's still cool though. I have one of my guilty pleasures is the dog show.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming to talk with us, and you're going to be at the Edmonton Poetry Festival.
I will be. Yeah.
It runs April 22nd to 29th. And if anyone out in Listenerville wants to learn more, you can do so at edmontonpoetryfestival.com.
Okay, and maybe Jack will be there.
Maybe Jack will be there, and he's a lovely dog.
Isn't he? Thank you, Claire.
You're welcome.